show. But, yes, we do have an announcement there. Buck is with us Tuesdays, and Buck, we'll talk mostly football because that's what you and I do, but did you get to watch any of the baseball, college baseball?
Man, I saw that Tennessee game. What a
wow.
What a game.
I know.
I couldn't turn it off. And, you know, the same Tennessee team that struggled last year, right? That was crazy. That was a crazy game. But, yeah, I mean, I watched bits and pieces of other games, but that one struck me, and then there were a couple of softball games I kind of paid attention to. But we talked about it, Bill, the College World Series, man, it gets crazy. The regionals, and then when you get to the World Series, it just nothing ceases to amaze me with that.
This talk about Colorado and Arizona joining the Big 12, and certainly nothing is done. A lot of speculation. I was saying earlier, Buck, I do think the speculation is based on some merit, whether it happens or not. I don't think it's just sitting there drunk thinking of stuff, right? I think there's something going on.
Yeah, I think there's some merit. I think it's because the Pac-12 has been so slow to get anything done, and Brett Yarmark has done a really nice job of saying, hey, we're going to be aggressive, and he's showing it, right? Pac-12 is still waiting on a deal that they don't have, and you've got a Colorado team that's become the darling now that USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten with Deion, and I think they're leveraging their opportunities at the right time. And I guess Colorado has said, hey, we need somebody, and you always kind of thought it would be Utah, but maybe Arizona said, no, we'll be the team. We'll put our hand up and join you. So, no, I don't think it's – I think there's some merit there. I don't know if it's going to happen, but, I think a lot of these schools are looking to say, hey, how can we be the most aggressive and get something done that's best for us? Because clearly the conference is not in a position to offer them the best opportunities that they think will be for their programs.
Buck, we were just talking. If indeed something like that were to happen, those two leaving to go to the Big 12, Colorado returning to the Big 12, the domino effect out west is going to be really interesting if George Klavikoff can hold that together, which seems very dicey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about the San Diego State situation, because if they don't do that move quickly, they're going to have to pay a huge buyout for them leaving. Washington and Oregon and Stanford and, Cal to some degree. I don't know if Cal is still in that mix. Are all being talked about potentially for the Big Ten, or have at some point, right? Cal may not be, but I'm almost wondering if Stanford is saying, hey, if we're going to go, we need to do the same thing that UCLA did with our rival. I don't know. Or USC and UCLA. I'm just speculating because, you just don't know what's there. But the Washington-Oregon piece, too, is interesting because Washington still seems to have a lot of merit, but they've just never really given Oregon a lot of credit for what they've been able to do. And I'm a little bit surprised by that being such a strong Nike school and some of the other things that Oregon can provide, not just football, but some of the other athletic things that they can do. So, yeah, I think if that would have happened, we'd start seeing and hearing a lot more out that way, Bill.
Domino effect could not just take its toll on the West Coast there, Buck, but could there be a domino effect that comes eastward? For example, could the Big Ten, which could, as we know, anytime they want, call and get Oregon and Washington. They could do it tomorrow. They could have done it a year ago. They could do it a year from now. They know what the answer is. They've always got a prom date with those two schools. No question. But could the Big Ten call the SEC's bluff, try to poach down here in the South? Let's say a Florida State or a Clemson, and we know how cumbersome that buyout is, so I understand all of that. But could that coax the SEC into making a move?
Bill, it could, and that's what's so complicated about this. If this happens, this happens, and then the grant a right deal, there's so many variables to it. But yeah, you think we could just look at it on the surface and say, yeah, Clemson Florida State? You want to go to the Big Ten? Okay. Because I think you're right. I think it's a known fact that Washington, Oregon, Stanford, to some degree, maybe Cal, they would all say yes. They would raise their hand if the Big Ten came calling. But the Big Ten may be looking at it from a standpoint, or the SEC even, saying we can strengthen ourselves right now with some schools in the South and our footprint already, right? So, for the SEC. Now, the Big Ten, hey, we want to get more entrenched in the SEC and footprint. Florida State, Clemson make a lot of sense. So it's that's the thing with this conference realignment and all the dominoes. They started falling, but they haven't completely fell, and we don't know where they're going to fall. And there's so many things that can happen over the next couple of years. And each time we see it, we'll speculate on it, almost forget that we talked about it, and then it'll come to fruition. So I'm interested to see how that all happens now that we know teams want to leave some conferences, some teams want to stay, but will they have the option and even the conference to stay in?
Buck, let me just say up front, I am not a Hall of Fame fan. I don't care about anybody's Hall of Fame, but most people do. I understand that. Yeah. It's a thing. It's an item. The College Football Hall of Fame list, Buck, and I just started looking at that a little bit this morning, the recent release, and I noticed Ken Norton was on there. Did you and Ken Norton play together?
Yeah, we did. I played 2 years with Ken. Ken, was one of those guys that I looked up to and then tried to battle him every day in practice. He made me a lot better as an inside linebacker. And, he was on those teams with us where we were really starting to turn the corner. I played 2 years with Ken, and I think subsequently watching those guys like him and Flipper Anderson and some of the others start to get drafted, Gaston Green, I was a young pup, but I got to play with those guys, 2 years. And it showed me what it meant to get, be ready to be a professional. He and John Lee. John Lee is a little bit older than – I think he was a few years before I got there. But also those two guys, great Bruins. And, Ken won a bunch of Super Bowls. And, it's just good to see that. I'm happy that he's back at UCLA, especially after he went to USC and spent a lot of time with Pete Carroll. But he's one of the good teachers, and good. I think our linebacker crew is going to be much, much better just because of him. I hate to also want to send my condolences to Bill McGovern's family. I saw that news that he had been real sick and passed away from cancer, I think. So, but yeah, man, it was good to see Ken on that list.
Candidates mentioned here: Warrick Dunn, Eric Bieniemy, Jerome Brown, Rocky Kalmus, Josh Heupel, Antonio Langham, Ryan Leaf. I'm just naming a few of them. Alex Smith. Wow.
Yeah, so bunch of names on there. And I think, what's the criteria? You have to be a first-team All-American? I can't remember what exactly the Hall of Fame. I know they have a certain set of rules and criteria to be listed on there.
Some coaches I mentioned, Heupel's mentioned. I mean, this is going to be interesting. Alex Smith, Julius Peppers, Michael Orr, Michael Vick. If Michael Vick doesn't get in, then I don't know what we're doing.
Bill, I saw him in college, and I don't know if I've ever seen a guy that's as fast and twitchy. I grew up in Houston, man. I saw some hell of a athletes.
You saw speed. Yeah,
man. They were playing on the turf up at Western Michigan in Kalamazoo. And that defense for Western was actually pretty good then. I think it was a Gary Darnell team. And they held for a while, man, but Michael Vick was so electric. I mean, it was like, wow. And, had a cannon for an arm, and he was a lefty. So I always loved those left-handed guys because I'm a lefty. And, and then asking the coaches afterwards, they said, "Have you seen anybody that fast?" They're like, "Not really. We couldn't practice that. Even our fastest guys aren't as fast as that." So, yeah, he was pretty special.
This came up a couple of months ago somehow on the show about just the most electric quarterbacks athletically, but could also go on to the pros, right? So you don't stereotype them as more athletic than than the quarterback type who has to throw the ball. He was right there among my most athletic. I'd say the most recent one is Kyler Murray. Such a spectacular athlete, Buck. He's a first-round draft pick in baseball. Lots of money.
Yeah.
That kind of athlete.
And the thing is, how many – he only lost one or two games, something ridiculous in high school. I mean,
at Allen High.
Yeah.
On top of that.
At the biggest school in the state of Texas, and he was electric. The problem for him always was he was just undersized, right?
Right.
And I think that's the thing that it'll be interesting to see now with him healthy and with, you know, the new staff and everything, how that's going to work out at Arizona. You know, I've always said, man, if he can funnel that and really get coached up, I think he's got a lot of talent. Lamar Jackson was also very electric at Louisville. Having the chance to watch him, and you know, I don't think people give Bobby Petrino and his staff enough credit for helping Lamar develop from a passer, because when he got there, I don't think the staff before, you know, they weren't sure, but they made sure they gave him plays. And then finally they said, hey, he's ready. And, you know, the crossing routes that he was learning and the other things, he still has to work on some of those things at the next level. But from a speed standpoint and the ability to really wing it when he wants to, you know, he's pretty special.
Buck, your thoughts on the SEC somewhat tabling their future schedule by deciding in 24 to stay with 8 league games. Now, it's a different format, 1-7, because they're doing away with divisions, but some thoughts there.
Yeah, the SEC says, look, it hadn't hurt us now playing 8. Why should we go to 9, right?
Correct.
I mean, look, it hasn't hurt them, and they kind of control the tempo, so I was impressed with them saying, look, we don't care what you guys say, but what helps us and helps our teams, and if we're going to have a 12-team playoff, we want to get more teams there. I'm okay with that. I just don't want to see in November a game that everybody knows is a money game, and then they try to sell us to the fact that, hey, we want to see our second and third stringers. Not in November or late October or whenever you play it. I'd like to see them move away from that, but hey, if 8 games is going to get you a chance to get to the promised land like you've been, by all means, you've got the power. Use it, right?
Buck, always a pleasure. We'll see you next week.
Okay, Bill. Take care. Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday, each and every Tuesday. Speaking of 8 versus 9 games, and you know, here the last X number of years, the SEC's played 8. ACC's played 8, 9 for the Big Ten, Pac-12, etc. Did you see this stat? Peter Burns, ESPN. Since the NCAA approved 12-game schedules in 06, no team playing a 9-game conference schedule has ever won the college football national championship. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 haven't won a title since moving to 9 conference games. Meanwhile, the SEC has 13 titles, ACC 3. How about that stat? That's pretty interesting right there. Yeah, when you move to a 9 game, now that's going to change. I mean, that stat's not going to hold. I'm not suggesting. And the SEC, I am convinced, is going to go to a 9-game schedule. And I believe they'll do it in 25. They're just waiting for some money, love, and another item or two. That's what's going on here. And maybe get Nicky off the bridge that he may jump off of if they give him 3 permanent opponents that he already plays anyways, right? He already plays LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee. Yeah, I got to work with Nicky on this. Let Nicky approve everybody's schedule, okay? All right, we'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.